This is Lake Effect for Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Welcome to the show, and thanks so much for tuning in. All this week, we're examining the so-called skills gap, the apparent mismatch between employers with jobs to fill and the pool of unemployed or underemployed workers that exists in southeastern Wisconsin and around the country. It's an issue that's been on the radar of the Milwaukee-based staffing company Manpower Incorporated for a long time. And for the past 7 years, the international company has sought to quantify the situation locally and globally. Manpower conducts an annual talent shortage survey that collects and analyzes the data about jobs going unfilled. The survey starts out by asking employers a very simple question. Are you struggling to fill mission-critical positions in your organization? In 2012, nearly half of the respondents, 49% to be exact, said yes, they were. Melanie Holmes is a vice president at Manpower Group and involved in the talent shortage survey. She says within that 49% number, there are several job categories in which employers are experiencing the greatest number of challenges.
The job categories that they're struggling to fill the most start with skilled trades. And we hear a lot about manufacturing here, particularly in the Milwaukee area. But that is an issue on a national basis. So skilled trades, engineers, not a surprise to anybody. IT staff, that's also not a surprise. We hear a lot from our clients that need IT staff, that they're struggling to find the people they need. Sales representatives, accounting and finance, drivers, machinists, mechanics, nurses and teachers are the top 10.
And so this really runs the gamut of people who need two-year degrees or certificates or even four-year and advanced degrees.
Yeah. This runs the whole gamut of educational requirements. At one end of the educational spectrum, a driver might need a high school education, but he or she would also need a commercial driver's license and probably pass a background check and a drug screen in order to be a driver. The other skills range from two-year degrees, certificates, apprenticeships, and four-year and advanced degrees.
This number, I think you said 49%?
49%, yes.
Is a pretty significant number. You have tracked this skills mismatch for 7 years. How has the picture changed in just that time?
Well, last year the number was 52%, so basically it didn't change much. It ticked down just a little bit. But in 2010, the number was only 14%. But if you think back to 2010, things were pretty grim in 2010. The unemployment rates were much, much higher, and businesses were struggling. So they probably didn't have open positions.
Right. It wasn't that there wasn't a skills gap. There just weren't jobs open for them to have difficulty finding people for.
Yeah. If I don't have an open position, I'm not going to tell you I'm struggling to fill it. So it was 14% in 2010. So we took a big, big jump last year when consumer confidence, when business confidence really started to tick up and the unemployment rates started going down. Unfortunately, they haven't gone down as much as we want them to go, but they did start coming down then.
So what about pre-recession numbers in terms of the skills gap? What was the gap looking like when you started looking at this in, say, 2006 or 2007?
Well, 2006, it was 44%. 2007, 41%. So we're kind of back. We're a little bit higher, but we're back to those numbers, those pre-recession numbers.
Well, and so then I'm curious to get your take on this. Do you think is there something about the current skills gap that makes it different than any gap that would have existed at any other point in history? It seems like that innovation would always run ahead of training and education.
Well, we do ask the employers why they think they're having difficulty. And the number one reason in the United States was that they don't feel enough applicants are coming to them, which would indicate that people just aren't looking for jobs. We know the unemployment rate is high. That actually surprises me. The number two reason is that the employees are looking for more pay than is offered. That makes sense if you think about the fact that if I have the skills you're looking for, I ought to be able to name my own price. Simple economics, supply and demand. But if you look at it from the employer's perspective, we're constantly tightening our belts, trying to do more with less. So it's very difficult for me to raise the starting salaries for somebody. But the main reason, the bulk of the reasons are all around lack of experience, lack of the actual technical skills people need to get the job done, and lack of soft skills. That is so key.
So let's talk about that distinction between the soft skills, which I gather essentially the knowledge base and ability to adapt into a job, and specific skills that are required to do specific jobs. What are the soft skills that employers believe are lacking, and how does that relate to the hard skills, if you will? The I've already been a welder and I'm applying for this job as a welder with a different company.
Well, soft skills are kind of hard to define. It's one of those things I'll kind of know it when I see it, as opposed to being able to list them. But if you talk to employers, they're going to say it's things like critical thinking skills, problem solving, creativity, the ability to adapt to change, which is huge in today's world, communication skills. But also in this list, I would include some workplace ethics or workplace competencies like showing up on time, being dressed appropriately, working in a team, not fighting with my supervisor. Those are the things that when we talk to our clients, that many of the people that apply for jobs are lacking.
One of the surprises your report points to is that the majority of employers who are experiencing this shortage say it seems to have little or no impact on their bottom line. Does that mean for the majority of employers the gap doesn't matter as much as it does to the workers out there who don't have jobs?
Well, that percentage actually scares me. If employers are not worried about the fact that they can't find talent. Because as you know, as customers, we're smarter than ever before. And that puts so much more pressure on the people we're buying our goods and services from. So if businesses aren't constantly doing things better, smarter, cheaper, they're not going to be able to stay ahead. And in order to do that, you've got to have talent. So it scares me that businesses don't think that this is an issue. But you know the old saying that if you throw a frog into boiling water, it's going to jump out right away. But if you turn the cold water up, he'll stay in the water and boil. It might be that employers are used to this and they're not seeing it as an issue because it's kind of normal for them to be struggling to find talent. But it scares me that businesses don't think it's an issue.
Right. The report seems to suggest that employers who don't think that it will someday have an impact on their bottom line are doing so at their own peril.
I personally believe that. I mean, we are always talking to our clients and talking to businesses about developing a workplace strategy that has some long-term plans about where are you going to find your talent, and then what are you going to do with the people that you find. It's not on the list of what employers tell us as the reasons why they're struggling to fill key positions. But I believe, and based on conversations I've had with employers, that employers are being too picky. We're looking for the perfect person to walk in the door and be productive tomorrow. I understand that because of the fact that we're all busy. We have to do things better, smarter, cheaper. We want productivity tomorrow. But I think that's unrealistic. And if we keep looking for that perfect person, I think we're going to be looking for a long time.
So does change have to happen at the human resources level, do you think?
Well, I talk a lot to human resources professionals and to people in the C-suite about this issue. And I'm a firm believer that HR has to be part of the strategy of the business, not just a workplace strategy, but the business strategy. So if senior management isn't talking to one another about the talent issues and how we get and keep and engage the talent we have, businesses are going to be in trouble. So HR needs to be sitting at the table. They need to be part of the C-suite and making this workplace strategy part of the overall business strategy.
Is it realistic for business to expect more to be done on the education side of the coin? Do you think business seems to be demanding of especially the technical colleges and certificate programs out there more specific kinds of training for young people and even people who are returning to school to come out with?
Another very good question, Mitch. I think that, yes, we do need the education system to be a little bit more specific and targeted, but I don't think that responsibility rests solely on the shoulders of the education system. As businesses, we need to step up. We need to partner with K-12. And we need to partner with our post-secondary institutions to tell them what we need. If businesses isn't saying to MPS or to the K-12 systems, if businesses isn't saying to UWM or the four-year institutions or MATC what they need and what they're looking for, both from a hard skill and a soft skill perspective, how should we expect magically for these graduates to be what we want in order to get the job done. So partnerships have to be developed. So I challenge every business out there, think of a way to partner with your local educational institutions. Again, K-12, post-secondary. Partner, help them understand what you're looking for in an employee.
What about the salary issue, though? Manufacturers try to make the case that you can support a family of four on a manufacturing salary these days, but at the same time, we hear competing studies showing that your lifetime earnings are sure to be much greater if you have a four-year college degree. How do we address this discrepancy?
Well, I'm not an expert on salaries, but I do know that you can get a really good family-sustaining job in the manufacturing environment. And I dream sometimes about having a job that I don't take home at night. And I think working in a manufacturing environment might be better for your work-life balance, actually, than some of the jobs that we do. And so I do know that manufacturing pays well. There is a stigma, though, that we, many people, have the picture in our head of manufacturing being dirty and dangerous and not a place where either we want to go or we want our children to go. So yes, you can get a family-sustaining job in manufacturing. We need to erase the stigma of manufacturing as not being a place where people should be going to find a career. And I do think statistics will tell you that over the lifetime, you can make more with a college degree. Right now in this environment, some people are saying that half of the recent college graduates are either unemployed or underemployed. And there are lots of open positions in manufacturing. So I don't know. There are lots of different pathways to prosperity, to getting a good job, getting a family-sustaining job. Getting a four-year degree and a baccalaureate is certainly one of those pathways. But I'm hoping that young people and people that have been unemployed and want to return to the workforce recognize that there are plenty of opportunities in manufacturing. It is a clean, well-paying position that I think people need to consider.
Melanie Holmes, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
Melanie Holmes is vice president at Manpower Group, the Milwaukee-based international staffing company. She spoke with Mitch Tyke about the company's annual talent shortage survey, and there's a link to the 2012 edition from wuwm.com/lake effect. Coming up after a break, a consulting group that works closely with the manufacturing industry says it's skeptical that a true skills gap really exists. We'll hear about their research in just a moment as our Project Milwaukee Help Wanted series continues on WUWM.